Good, good. God is here with us. Men, you're very fortunate today that I am here, because I have brought a thesaurus to help your wives understand what you mean. Since men don't always say what they mean, ladies, let me help you translate what they're saying. Now, you don't have this on your notes, because I wouldn't print that, but I guess we got it on tape. That may be worse. So, when a man says, it would take too long to explain, it means, I have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, he means, I can hear the game, stop running the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, can I help with dinner, he really means, why isn't it ready yet? When a man says, you know how bad my memory is, it means you forgot your birthday or your anniversary. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. So this is Father's Day, and it's good to have some joy and laugh. Let me, oh yeah. This is your pastor on Zoom. This is Debbie. Good grief, I forgot about that. Debbie, we were at the house, and she had her camera there, and it was okay zooming all the time until I started tucking my shirt into my pajamas. So when I started tucking my shirt into my pajamas, she took a picture, and she said, you need to embarrass yourself and stop that. So anyway, that's... When you're zooming in the morning devotions, and I've got that white shirt that I've worn for 5 days, those are the pants I've had for 5 days. And I think, was it you, Kate, when you came over to the house that one time, and they were there or something, she said, you probably go to bed in them too. And I said, I think I do. But anyway, happy Father's Day. You can take that thing off of there now. But thank you, Andrew. Andrew's always here to help. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Dads, what if I could tell you that there was a way to guarantee that your children would be 5 times at least less likely to commit suicide, 32 times less likely to run away, 23 times less likely to have behavioral disorders, 14 times less likely to commit a sexual crime, 9 times less likely to drop out of high school, 10 times less likely to abuse chemical substances, and 9 times less likely to end up in prison or a state-operated institution? Would you be interested in finding out what the secret of that would be? And here it is, the presence of a father in the home. So how did Father's Day come about? There was a young lady by the name of Sonora Dodd of Washington. She first had the idea of Father's Day. She thought it was the idea for her Father's Day while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. She wanted a special day to honor her father, Mr. William Smart. He was a Civil War veteran, was widowed when his wife was having and giving birth to their 6th child. He was left to raise the newborns and his 5 other children by himself on a rural farm out in western Washington State. After his daughter Sonora had become an adult, she realized the selflessness her father had shown in raising her and her siblings as a single parent. It was her father that made all the parental sacrifices and was, in the eyes of his daughter, a courageous, selfless, loving man that took care of 6 precious children. Her father was born in June, so she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, on the 19th of June, 1910. President Calvin Coolidge, in 1924, supported the idea of a National Father's Day. And then, in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And President Nixon signed the law, which finally made it permanent in 1972. That's quite a lineup, isn't it? 42 years ago. And now on the third day in June, families pause and reflect on the father, the member of the family, the one they know as the complement of their mother, their father. I'm thankful for the insight of this young lady and helping families celebrate a day for fathers. Her father played a role in her life, leading her to honor him for being a courageous, selfless, loving father. He seemed to have found the formula spoken of in Scripture. He was one of the fathers who did not provoke his children possibly to anger. Rather than provoke them to anger, what are we to do? We are to, as Ephesians 6:4 says, and I'll be talking about, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what is the role of a father? What do we do? There is no role in our modern society that suffers greater neglect as far as God is concerned than that of the father. Not only has God given men the incredible privilege of imitating him as father, he has placed upon their shoulders of the fathers an incredible responsibility. Our society has chosen this day to celebrate the fathers. It is appropriate to remind us fathers of their God-given responsibilities. By God's standards, number one, anyone who is to be a father should first be a husband. Therefore, being a responsible father first necessitates being a good husband. One must love, honor, and nourish and cherish his wife in every aspect of her life. We read in Ephesians, just a chapter up from 6 where we are, in Ephesians 5, and the scripture is clear. We know it. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, as he gave his life up for her. To make her holy and clean, he washed by the cleansing of God's word. Why did he do this? He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands, love your wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. You see, the standard by which husbands, fathers are to love their wives is stated outright, and it's a high standard indeed. We are to, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, the love of the husband, the love of Christ, he took him up to the cross. The love of a husband for his wife will involve a similar process of himself being given. The nature of true love, being godly love, is a deep desire to sacrifice for the one you so dearly love. Such is the nature of marriage that God intends husbands to sacrifice for their wives. The goal of husbands loving their wives is also addressed. Christ's goal for the church is to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You see, husbands cannot sanctify their wives exactly like Christ sanctifies the church, but we can set the spiritual goal of our wives being that of Christ, all he wants them to be. Then husbands can, we can, in love, work toward helping our wives achieve that goal of Christ likeness. How? We can model it for them. We can model that for them in a way that shows them what God's love looks like. Husbands who love their wives, remember that they are fellow heirs of grace, of life. The Bible also gives husbands a practical way to engage in the genuineness of their love for their wives. We men can ask ourselves, are we caring for our wives in the way comparable to how we care for ourselves? Ephesians 5:28 says, husbands, love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and they care for their body just as Christ does for the church. This one flesh principle comes into play here. Selfishness has no place in a marriage. And ironically, as we love his wife, as a man loves his wife, as Christ loves the church, we will find that we will reap the benefits of such love. Blessings from the Lord and our family will unite us in a precious heavenly way. So what is a husband's responsibility? What is a husband's responsibility? It's to love his wife without blemish, without reservation, without condition. Love her as Christ loved the church unto death. We read in John 13:1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of his world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, look at this, he loved them to the end. We are to love her, seek her for her best, sacrifice for her benefit, give yourself to her wholeheartedly, and when it's all done, love her some more. You may be thinking, Pastor, I thought this day was Father's Day. Why all this love about my wife stuff? What about the children? I need to be honored here. Let me tell you this. Only when a husband loves his wife as Christ teaches him will he then be prepared to be a good father. And only then. Your children will learn to love their future spouse. Your children will learn to deal with life's difficult situations. They will discover how to pray, and they will discover how to love their Lord, because soon to be theirs, for an example that you provide a loving mother, how you love your mother, your children will learn how to love everyone around their mother. Your actions or displays of Christ or to love your wife and others around is a great matter in the forming of the lives to serve God. I have found that what we love and worship as dads and fathers is what our children will tend to also prefer. Our children usually make what is most important to them what is most important to you, Dad. That's why God instructed the Israelites going to the Promised Land to lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you are careful to do this, all these commandments that I command to you, loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and holding fast to him, what would that look like today? What would that look like for us? First, us dads, we should do as verse 18 says. We should commit ourselves wholeheartedly to the Word of God. Instead of maybe wrapping them on our hands and wearing them on our forehead as reminders, we should, as the psalmist say, we are to hide his word in our heart that we may not sin against him. In fact, the verses before verse 11 show the truth of what this achieves for us. Look at this, Psalms 110, 9 through 11. How can a young person stay pure? Good question. By obeying your word, don't let me wander from your commands. Well, how do I keep from wandering? It's right after that next verse. Because I've hidden your word in my heart to the end, that I may not sin against you. You see, there's a reason that the psalmist is hiding God's word in his heart. He knows that he's a sinner, and having the treasure of God's word hidden in a safe yet accessible place will help him fight against sin. Dads, you are in a battle against sin, and you can't win. But God has. Our children are in a battle against sin and need you to train them, dads, in righteousness so they can handle a life to come. You're it. Mom needs you to help with the children. You're the example. You're the one that God has given the privilege to lead your family in a God-glorifying direction. Equal spiritually, equally created in the image of God, you and your wife. But God says, you, Mike, you lead your family in a God-glorifying direction, being the example of Christ as he is to the church, loving her, taking care of her, watching the children, training them up in righteousness, being the example that the children need. Teach them God has won the battle of sin in their behalf and has already defeated the power of sin and Satan in their lives and in your life. That is so important to know for a child, that they don't go wandering thinking they don't have any value and that they're worthless. No, son, you or daughter, you have the love of Christ. You have the righteousness of Christ in you. You are holden without blame. You don't need to change who you are for anybody. You're just right, and you're a child of God. How important would that have been for us to know when we were growing up? Oh, my soul. So many things I wouldn't have done, probably. But God knew those things I would do, and although I did them, he wrapped that up in that little perfectness right there, and his will was done through that. And because he is a lover of mine and I'm a lover of him, he made all those things work out for the glory of him. Sometimes I wonder about that. There's some things I'm thinking, Lord, you can't take what I stole right now and make it for your glory. Oh, yes, I can when your daddy finds out and you got to take it back. Yeah, you'll learn it. Our children are in a battle against sin and need you, dads, to train them in righteousness so they can handle the life to come. You're it. Teach them God's won the battle. Tell your children what God did for you because, and what God will do for you because you trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ. We find this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Here's what God did for those who trust His Son when He died on the cross. You see, son or daughter, the record of death that stood against you and me, He's now set aside because He nailed it to the cross. By the way, kids, He's disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. When Christ died for our sins, Satan was disarmed and defeated. Don't let him rule in your life. He has no power except what you give him. The eternal one, destructive weapon that he was that was stripped from his hand. Namely, he accuses us before God that we are guilty and should perish with him. And God says, no, my son's righteousness is in that child, and he shall be with me in eternity forever. You see, when Christ died, that accusation that Satan has against us, that we're no good, and that we should be in hell forever with him, it was nullified and then assured them that those who trust themselves to Christ will never perish. You see, Satan cannot separate them from the love of God in Christ. Affirm to your child that no one can condemn them. Read them Romans 8, 34 and 39. Who will condemn us, guys? No one. Why? For Christ died for us, and He raised us to life, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. It ought to be nearly a song that we can sing. Andrew, learn this. Sing it to Lucas. Who can condemn us, Lucas? Nobody. Why? Because Christ died for us, Lucas, and we're raised to life up to Him. And now, Lucas, He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Don't worry, Lucas. We've won the fight. That'd be beautiful. Tell it to little John. It ain't little John anymore. That's big John. I'm telling you, he's a big boy. Of course, tell it to little Raina too, because we can't leave you out, little Raina, because that'll make you sad. All the children, tell them that Jesus loves them. Tell them they have a Father in heaven. Tell them they've got a dad that's going to help lead them up to Him. And dad, you may make mistakes too, but tell your children, hey, let's walk together. Let's walk down this road together, helping one another, because we're on the road to heaven. Affirm to your child asking, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or we're hungry or we're destitute or in danger or threatened with death? What's the answer? Roman gives it again. 37, no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. You know, conclude with them about your conviction that you are in verse 38. You're convinced, sons and daughters, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or earth below, indeed nothing at all in creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't think that wouldn't give a child some security? It's giving me security right now. I'm a little less scared after reading that with everything that we've gone through. Oh, my soul. I can hear the child. Hey, Dad, you mean we will forever be together because of the love of Jesus that He has for us? That's right, my child. You and I will be together forever. I may be gone for a little while. Or in my case, if my brother, you may be gone for a little while, even though you're younger. But don't worry, we're all going to be back together. This is forever. You'll never be separated. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Don't you ever think anything can separate you from God's love. The worst thing you've ever done in your life, don't you dare think to be separated from God's love because of that. It just lets Him love you more. and He will love you more. Let me end, Dads, with giving you some assurance as a father or a parent from God's Word. Sometimes moms have to be dads too, right? It comes from Proverbs. In fact, read your children the book of Proverbs while you rock them to sleep. See who can stay up the longest. I'm going to bet on the child. Look at this, Proverbs 22, 4 through 6. True humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches and honor and a long life. You want your children to have a long life? Teach them to honor and obey the Lord. And teach them by your actions how to do that, not just your words. Kids have a unique ability to see a word and not an action and be confused by that. If they see the word and they see the action, they'll be encouraged and their behavior will follow that. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and a long life. Lead them to know that in verse 5, be careful, corrupt people walk in a thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life must avoid that. And by doing so, Dads, here's your assurance from God. If you will direct your children into the right path, then when they are older, they're not going to leave it. Mom and Dad, you're the most important person to influence your child in your child's or your children's life, bar none. You're the most important influence they have. Don't leave it up to the schools. Don't leave it up to the church. Don't leave it up to the government or any other people of influence to raise your children. Use them to help support your walking with your children if they agree with the theology that's there. Look, it's a monkey see, monkey do deal. Be kind to your little monkeys and lead them by manifesting Christ to them. They will hear no evil, and they will see no evil, and they will do no evil that can destroy their eternal life. Raise them up in the Lord. Give them a chance to live a life, maybe part of a chance that you didn't have. Break that cycle of difficulty. Give them a chance to have a smile on their face, because whatever comes their way, they've got the power, because you have helped them know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they will be sitting up here one day. I'm not sitting, but I'm standing. But they'll be standing up here one day preaching the Word of God. They'll be out there somewhere in the mission field. They'll be maybe here in the mission field. They'll be maybe just sitting at the feet of you and your wife as you teach them the Word of God. Maybe your child will be the next Billy Graham. I don't know what your child's going to be, but I know what they can be if the Word of God is instilled in their heart, that they can walk a life. And those of us that our children are too old right now, it's too late. Forget about it. No, it's not. Hang in there. They'll always come back for advice. They always need a little help, and you can just put a little bit more God in there. And remember, God is the one working them and shaping them, and we're just the one that are the hands and feet of the Lord to help Him do those things that He's going to do in that child. And we are to pray for them and love them in a way that looks just like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, help us. Father, our children are going to be growing up in a very difficult time. Father, it's going to be a time where there's a difference probably in freedoms. There's probably going to be speech, Father, that's going to be taken down a little bit. Father, there's things coming up, Father, that Your Word says it's going to be more difficult. It's not going to get better, but once we're out of here, it's way better. But Father, until then, help us stand strong on the foundation of Your Word. Help us to be a light, Father. Father, not the light bulb, but a light of Christ in a world of darkness. Help us to understand, Father, that You've already taken care of everything and that we just need to walk in the path that You've given us. Father, You need to be using our hands and feet, Father, but mainly, Father, You need to have our actions represent who You are, that people can see us even when we're silent. But today, Father, we pray for our children. Father, may we give them the information that You've given us in a way, Father, that will turn their hearts towards You. May the dads see today, Father, even better the importance it is to walk and talk with their children, to be a part of their life, to teach them how to deal with the difficult things of life only because they are teaching you them their Your ways. Father, we love You and we thank You and we praise Your name. And Father, thank You for the privilege of being a father. Now, Father, may we enjoy, Father, watching our children grow in a way, Father, that honors and pleases you. And Father, I pray it looks just like their earthly dad because he honored and glorified you. So, Father, together they can be bound in a way that's impossible to be bound any other way and have a deep love except for the way that you bind together through the hearts of your love through a son and his children, through a father and his children. Father, there's a love there that surpasses all because it's your love binding them together. Father, we love you and thank you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen and amen.